through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Okay, unless I missed something right there, that last promo that ran, that had all the station voices talking about Greg Olsen and what he can do, I heard in order, Jake, Stacy, Bob, Wyman, Moore, Bumpus, Paul, Danny, Clayton. That's every host on this station except me.
You know why? Because your takes were too hot.
Here's the odd part. Howdy made that promo, and I noticed yesterday when I was talking about Greg Olsen, everything I was saying, he was nodding his head in agreement.
You know what I think you should do? I think you should pretend right now that you're reacting to the Greg Olsen news in a five-second clip, and then we demand that he create a separate promo. Or just we get me? A jump. We get a jump on the new signings, and you announce, oh, Seahawks re-signed Jadeveon Clowney. This is the move. And then we say, store that. That's happens.
Right. You create all these cut-ups just in anticipation. Literally every single free agent signing, the possibilities. We throw out different hypothetical numbers. Then we can go into this database, and then they've got like...
The Tom database.
They've got probably 1,000 cut-ups
one
of
is,
you.
One is you just saying reactions. Tom, that's wild.
Or what we can do is just create like a shell, and then Tom can say the names of each person. We could insert that.
That's a good idea. Just have you isolated, say, Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, I can't believe the Seahawks sign Chris Jones.
That.
I love this idea.
Yes, we will build this database, and that way this will never, in this injustice
never again.
Happen again.
How would you feel if somebody did that to you? By the way,
sad.
Curtis, can you go back in and double check that? Double check that I wasn't the very first voice and that I didn't just miss it?
Yeah, what if you were and we've been talking about it the whole time?
Well, it's funny.
Then we have to pretend it. I mean, it was a great promo.
I wouldn't be shocked at all if my voice was omitted from that.
Well, that's where we have to make this supercut.
And by the way,
we have to go on this.
Yeah. If we find out that, you know, here in a minute that my voice was not on that, I'm leaving.
Someone says you were on the promo announcing the signing.
Oh, that's nice.
But you're the announcement of it. You're kicking it off.
No.
Yes.
They don't trust my takes on these
You're
things.
The first thing we hear.
They think I don't. The assumption is that they don't think I know football like you guys do.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is true.
No, it's not.
Don't forget the Fozzie Whitaker one that we have. Wait, was his name Fozzie Whitaker?
Yeah, what about him?
I was just saying, you were a big part of that promo. Fozzie the Bear. I'll never forget that moment we shared.
That was awesome.
It was beautiful.
I'm just as excited as everybody else about Greg Olsen.
Well, that's good, because I think Greg Olsen is an exciting piece in addition to this team.
Yesterday, you know, you and I, Jake, we were kind of saved by the bell, because we almost started getting into an argument over what the actual expectation of him was. Like I said, if Olsen got to 40 catches, or heck, even like 30, 35 catches, you could consider that a success for him. If he's supplementing Will Dissly.
Yeah.
But you thought, like, going away, 50 catches, here it comes.
No, I think the disconnect between that conversation there is the expectations of what Greg Olsen can produce. I don't disagree with you, Tom. I think in tandem with Will Dissly, if those two guys are on the field together and they're working together, then I'm not expecting Greg Olsen to have to catch 60 balls. I'm not, because he's not going to be the true number three target. It's going to be spread out between him, Will Dissly, and Jacob Hollister potentially, right? So I wouldn't be upset with that if there was a good mixture between the two. What I was hearing from a lot of people, not just here in the room as we were reacting in the back room, but also on social media, that people were, you know, kind of killing the signing. That, oh, Greg Olsen, he's 34 and he's missed 18 games over the last three seasons. He's missed a lot of games in 17 and 18. I get that's a concern. In 2019, he played 14 games and finished the year healthy. He bounced back from that. So let's stop, you know, saying this narrative that this guy is, you know, some injury-riddled guy that we signed out of desperation. He showed that he can be healthy. As he played, you watch the film, and he was a difference maker, that he can still run the same routes. He can still, he's a great receiver still. He can still block. I mean, this is still a guy that can play at a high level. This is not a Mike Iupati, and I hate to bring this as a example, but Mike is not the same all-pro level talent that he once was. He is a good option for the Seahawks in terms of what they wanted to get out of him last year, and I think he fulfilled that. But he was not going to come in and be a Pro Bowler. Anybody expecting that to be the case, you're just completely lost. With Greg Olsen, he could be. Like, he still has that talent. Do I think he will be? No, because I think Tyler and DK are going to have more of the receptions, but he still has a lot left in the tank in terms of his productivity. Does that make sense?
Yeah, he does. And he's only, I think he's only been a Pro Bowler, what, twice in his career?
That feels weird.
I know,
it should be more.
But here's the thing about him. He's had a wonderful career. I don't think he's ever been the best tight end at the game or in the game at any point in his career. So two Pro Bowls, if that's the case, you can look it up. That wouldn't exactly surprise me. But
yeah.
I guess next year, if we're looking at Tyler, DK, Disley, Olsen, and whoever kind of fills that third wide receiver slot, whether he's to be determined or he's David Moore, I'm comfortable with that, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm very comfortable with it, for sure. And that's
so
why
let's move on to the offensive line and the pass rush and
address
that. I'm not truly going to be excited about 2020 until one or two of those impact players are here. And by the, I don't mean specifically free agents. It could mean that. But after we're done with the draft, if we end up drafting in the second round or third round, whoever, another DK Metcalf, that type of guy, yeah, then I'll be excited then. But this is just the beginning of it. The Greg Olsen signing doesn't have to be the be-all, end-all of what they're doing for 2020.
Well, yeah, and a free agent signing doesn't always have to be a very long-term deal, because sometimes in free agency, just by its nature, you're finding a guy who is so expensive that the team he was on wasn't willing to offer him an extension at the market value he was at for whatever reason, whether it was an injury history, whether it was a more recent string of success that he had, whether it was because they had someone else young. There is a reason that he's hitting the market. And that doesn't mean he's a bad player. Jadeveon Clowney is a phenomenal player. His is a unique situation that he was franchise tagged, and Seattle agreed as part of their trade for him not to franchise tag him. So they had no choice but to let him hit free agency. So that isn't always the case. But you're not always going to get a long-term for-the-future deal in free agency. And I think that doesn't mean that we won't see plenty of those for Seattle this offseason. Not only are you going to have their draft picks, but there's a good chance that they find like a young edge rusher to a longer deal. Or will they make a trade? I don't know. I mean, people are throwing Darius Slay's name out there. I know that that would still be a pricey deal. Obviously, he has a good relationship with Quandre Diggs. I don't know that that's happening, but I say that because there are still many moves to be made. And, you know, if you're someone who's getting really upset because of Greg Olsen's age and you think it's a waste, I would maybe say rethink the way you're thinking of free agency, because you're not always finding a young, long-term contract.
I'd rather
there.
Not invest, unless it's Jadeveon Clowney and we want to have that conversation. I would rather not throw big money away on a free agent.
I mean,
at all, because I don't think free agency has the type of success rate in the NFL just in general that people think it does.
Well, there's always a reason
Albert Haynesworth and guys like that. Right. There's a reason why teams let these guys go.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they're in a different system. Something goes wrong.
Like, franchise quarterbacks don't typically hit free agency.
Right. And the other part of it, too, the anomaly in all this that we keep comparing to is the Green Bay Packers, Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. If you would have said right when they made those signings, oh, yeah, those guys are going to be around 14, 15 sacks combined,
right.
No one would have guessed that.
And they wouldn't be now. If they were hitting free agency now, it would be a much bigger contract than they could have commanded last year.
Correct. So you're hoping that the Seahawks can find, you know, people like that, they can bring it all together. But this is an interesting spot where you get into this conversation of where can you invest money? Where should you invest money? and where do you need to do patchwork opportunities like this? I haven't loved the patchwork job that they've done on the offensive line over the years, just because I don't think that they've brought in good quality players. This at the tight end position, this right now, although it's not a secure long-term solution with Will Dissly, Greg Olsen, Jacob Hollister, and these guys, but you head into 2020, and this is a very good tight end group.
Four down territory.
This is Four Down Territory.
With Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
You live for moments like this. Time for us to step up and take it.
In what areas does Greg Olsen immediately impact the Seahawks offense?
Immediately where he impacts it. A lot of people have said play action, and they're absolutely right that he's going to be a great player in play action. But specifically where I think it is going to be third down, because of his reliability and his ability to get open, have great hands, his catch rate percentage is off the charts his entire career, and also just having a great feel for the game. I think Greg Olsen will be great on third down and also in the red zone. Typically, Russell Wilson has loved his tight ends in the red zone, and Warren Sharp tweeted out, from 2016 to 2018, Russell Wilson has targeted tight ends in the red zone on 33% of passes, number two most in the NFL. The results, 61% success, number one, 5.3 yards per attempt, number one. Because of Will Dissly's injury, they were off to a hot start at the beginning of the year. You remember Will Dissly having all those touchdowns coming from the red zone. Last year, that dropped significantly to 40% of his passes were successful, which was 23rd, and his yards per attempt dropped to 3.7 when targeting tight ends. Greg Olsen will directly affect those numbers, get those red zone numbers back up in terms of tight end targets, and then also on third down. So those critical situations is where really where Greg Olsen is going to make a lot of his money.
Do you know he was the first tight end to record three straight seasons with 1,000 yards or more?
I didn't know that. I didn't know that he was the first, but it, you know, that's the type of player that he can be. And it, despite him having those two seasons of injury, he has, every time he's touched the field, he has been extremely productive.
I don't know why, but when you said to record, I thought you were going to say an album. It's just where I immediately thought that was going.
Well, he does have a song.
He does. We don't need to play
that.
Yeah,
we don't need to get into that. That's, you know.
Sounds like an FCC violation.
Very, very much matured since that point.
It's a colorful song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't heard
we'll
this?
We'll play it for you during the break, Tom.
Okay. It's in his Miami days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second down.
You, baby.
Jake, did you record any songs in your Miami days?
No, I did not. Well, I was in the same, I stayed in the same dorms as Greg Olsen. I didn't drop any hot, you know, songs
bars.
While I was there. Yeah, or bars. No songs, no bars.
A Miami shirt because I'm a poser and I really like it and it's comfortable. And I wore it into work and I obviously no one's throwing the U up at me often because I didn't go there, and Jake just does it automatically when I walk in, and I thought he was making an end zone for me to throw something into.
Yeah, she was like, you're looking at me all weird, like, what are you doing?
No,
like,
one's ever, I mean, I'm from UW.
Look at the shirt you're wearing.
I didn't realize it. It was the first day I was wearing it, and I thought, oh, okay, this makes sense.
Stacey.
Next question.
Okay. Should we be surprised that the Dragons have sold more than 10,000 season tickets?
I don't think so. I think it's great news for the XFL. It's obviously really encouraging that Seattle continues to lead the new league in ticket sales, and I would guess in season ticket sales. I was talking about this yesterday with the Cairo Knights team, Mike and Aaron, and we were talking about just Seattle as a sports town and why our theories are that they seem to embrace so many sports outside of like football and baseball, and why they're so good with that, or we are so good with that, I should say, as a Seattle resident. Mike tended to think that, well, there are a lot of people that aren't from Seattle and are maybe have a more eclectic taste in sports. My personal theory is that Seattle has had a history of unique heartbreak with their sports teams, and I think that, especially with the departure of the Sonics being relocated, not like they left in choice. So I think with them being relocated and taking from Seattle, there's this kind of feeling of a very cognizant effort that I think Seattle sports fans make to embrace all new leagues and all new teams and to show support, just like they did with the NHL and its ticket sales, setting a record with that. And I think that Seattle is a smart sports town, and its sports fans know that the more openly they embrace these leagues, it looks all the better to the NBA. And I think the hope for every sports fan is that eventually that's the league that comes here too.
Third down. What domino effect, Jake, does the move to sign Greg Olsen have on free agency for the Seahawks?
What I think this does for them, what it signals, is the fact that now you've signed a tight end, you've gotten that solidified in terms of your tight end room. Maybe you make one more signing on the offensive line, but really where your free agent dollars are going to be focused on is going to be defense. That's really the only question you had in terms of free agency. Was were they going to spend some dollars on a tight end? Were they going to go after a receiver and maybe make a splash signing there? This answers that question. So I think a lot of those free agent dollars go towards the defense now. And then what you talk about early talent potential in the draft, they've got three picks early on. You got three early late first, 2 second round picks. And I would anticipate two of those picks actually go to the offense and one goes to the defense if they do this, you know, the way that I'm envisioning. But I really think this sets the stage for them to really start being aggressive and solely focus on the defensive side of the ball.
Fourth down. Why do defensive ends make more money in a 4-3 defense than a 3-4?
Well, the simple answer is the fact that there is just a difference in the designation tag, right? So a defensive end versus in a 3-4 scheme, you're deemed as an outside linebacker. So outside linebackers get paid less than defensive ends. What they really should be looking at is how many times you are lined up on the line of scrimmage, and that should determine whether you're a defensive end or you're an outside linebacker. Because Von Miller, he's considered an outside linebacker. Is he? No, he's a edge rusher. So really that's where it comes down to. But the difference between the schemes of 4-3 and 3-4 is if you're a 3-4 outside linebacker, you are more likely to drop into coverage because of the different blitz schemes and all those things that come with it. So for Clowney, for example, he dropped more into coverage as that edge rusher in a 3-4 outside linebacker scheme than he was asked to do with the Seahawks, being a true defensive end, putting your hand in the ground, rushing the quarterback on almost every down.
So we announced on yesterday's show that our board operator, Curtis Rogers, is getting married. I just want you to know, Curtis,
yes,
that if you decide not to invite me, I won't be offended.
Wow.
What?
Wow, Tom.
Why would you say that?
I'm just letting them off the hook.
Well, I want you to go to the engagement party.
Here's the thing, though. I will not let Curtis Rogers off the hook because I offered my services to officiate his wedding.
And
the blitz.
Blitz the Seahawk.
Blitz the Seahawk. Shockingly threw his services into the ring, and
always,
you know, the Blitz and I got into a little bit of a, you know, Twitter war about the whole thing. And I just want you to know, Curtis, I will fight tooth and nail for you. Whatever I got to do, there's no pressure. Just like Tom said, no pressure, but I will fight. I will do whatever it takes.
Did you unfollow Blitz?
I do appreciate competition. I always compete. I'm not afraid of competition, but Curtis, I'm willing to fight.
What do you bring
you
that Blitz can't? I guess that's what I'm struggling
voice, Well, yeah, the fact that I can talk like that will help.
I guess. I mean, if that matters to you, but.
Well, I mean, if it matters to Curtis that he wants to actually hear what's going on.
I will say Jake has made the strongest effort so far of anybody that wants to officiate this thing.
Now, that doesn't. That doesn't.
710-710 if you want to officiate as well.
How many people from work are getting invites?
A good handful.
Really?
Yeah.
Local?
I mean, that's where we met.
Am I the best man?
Do you want to be? I haven't decided.
Are you taking auditions for that, too?
Sure, yeah.
Well, if Jake gets to officiate, then he'll be busy.
There's going to be a whole training camp for this wedding.
Okay.
We're going to have competition. Open competition everywhere.
Do you guys need a planner?
I'm ready to do this.
I don't think we do. That's a question for Brenna.
When's the combine? When is the officiating combine? Because I need to get myself ready.
Do we report in phases?
Dearly beloved. Yeah, you got to really.
Why is there an obstacle course for this? I don't know.
Whatever it takes, I'll be there.
I'm just trying to let you off the hook is all.
I appreciate that.
I'd like to go.
Yeah,
I guess.
I mean, you were on the rough draft list of guests invited. Yeah.
All right. Well, if you need to start siphoning people off,
it's kind of dependent on how big the venue is. We're still in the planning stages of that. We're actually going tonight to visit a venue. Actually.
Okay. Oh my God! And so are all of us.
Yeah.
You can invite Greg Olson too if you want.
It's not easy, Tom. It's a burden to carry. You get married here in the office, especially someone who's worked in the office. You guys have a lot of mutual coworkers.
Yeah.
And you got to draw the line somewhere. I found that out the hard way, and I don't feel great for Curtis. You know, he's going to have to make some tough choices.
Yeah.
It's like Paul Tsongas.
Dave Ross, probably not getting an invite. Sorry.
Dave Ross not getting an invite?
Stacy's dad? Wow.
That is
so
cutthroat.
Many people text, first of all, my last name is Ross. With a T.
Is that right?
And so many people constantly think I'm Dave Ross's daughter. Always.
The guy's got the best pipes I've ever heard.
Oh, he does.
Also not true.
Yes, it is. Halftime show is next. We've got a guy walking out of the hospital, thank goodness, with his young daughters. We'll talk about that. 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's time for the Halftime Show.
The half is not over. There's 3 seconds on the clock.
Revisiting the biggest stories of today at the midpoint of the show.
The Halftime Show. It's not easy.
Now, here's Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
We've been talking all day about Greg Olson. You know what just occurred to me? If they ended up signing Josh Gordon along the way sometime, that would make me more excited than the Greg Olson thing.
Well, Josh Gordon's upside is higher.
Yeah, well, yeah. Sure.
And he's 29 years old.
That's a part of it. There's unfinished business between Josh Gordon and the Seahawks in terms of what he can bring, what he can contribute. I feel like we just got a little glance at it. If he's available some way or another and he ends up on this team, like, that's going to make my offseason.
Oh, that's so funny.
Isn't that weird?
It is weird.
Yeah.
Because when Josh Gordon's initial signing happened, Tom, you were not happy.
No.
You were not happy, but you've come full circle on Josh Gordon. But I do think, Tom, the reality in this situation is I think there's a great chance that does happen. Like, I really do.
And it may not happen immediately. We were going through before.
No, it may not be like before the season.
That's what I mean.
Or training camp. Yeah, but I do see that potentially happening at some point in time.
If at some point during the year we're looking at Lockett, DK, Gordon, Olson, Disley, Hollister, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I'll take that every time out.
Jessamine has pointed this out before. I was just about to look up Josh Gordon's Twitter account to make sure, but she said that she feels like it's a good sign that he stayed in the Pacific Northwest area.
Yeah, for sure. He's. I think that speaks to a lot of the likelihood of that happening. And I'm telling you right now, the conversation around Josh Gordon in that building at the VMAC is everybody's very positive on him. And I am pretty confident that if he was to come off that suspension list, that Josh Gordon would be back with the Seahawks. And that would add some serious, you know, depth to your receiver position. And it lends to the question of, okay, are you in a situation where you can stay pat, or do you try and go draft another receiver early on to get yourself another difference maker, another talented player?
Well, go ahead. It'll be draft interesting. Another guy. I'm not saying I want the Seahawks to be in a position where they depend on getting Josh Gordon like
right.
week 7 of the season. I don't want that. Go ahead, draft somebody, sign another, you know, low risk free agent if you want, but all I'm saying is somewhere along the line, if he's available, and he usually is, if he were to reunite with the Seahawks, I wouldn't be surprised if he made a huge impact on the offense.
I could see that. For sure.
Next! Make a promo out of that, Howdy. He gives me the thumbs up. We just got word from Ryan Divish. We were making fun of you guys in the last segment while you weren't here. Sorry.
Who's you
needed
guys?
Some context.
Howdy and Kyle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's all fine.
Yep. We just got word from Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times that Mitch Haniger has arrived.
He's in camp. The king is here.
He's lost a bunch of weight.
Quote, he looks like he's lost quite a bit of weight and muscle. So, I mean, he looks like a guy who's had two surgeries in 3 weeks.
I was going to say.
Not surprisingly, yeah. But he doesn't look like a guy who's ready to go play 162-game baseball season.
Wouldn't part of the thing be that, okay, you cannot afford another setback, so he's probably not working out at all. I mean, maybe you're doing rehab and recovery, but I would assume that they are being very careful that there's no setback this time around.
I know that the job is to report, but is that really a surprise to anybody when you hear that? Like, the amount of surgeries that this guy's had back-to-back, I mean, it's not like he has been able to, in between time, to be able to work out. It sounds like, obviously, when he had this back injury, that it probably happened along with everything else that was going. So there's a chain of events, and when you're in that pain, it's probably not smart to work through it. So with Mitch Haniger, it's unfortunate that he is in this position right now. He was a guy that I really gravitated towards from just a, you know, a football player in terms of his approach and his mentality. I really like him. But gosh, that's a guy that just can't stay healthy. And I, just like we were talking about with Josh Gordon, I hope they're not depending on him in any shape or way. That I hope
think
that
they kind of are. I mean, as of right now, as long as Mitch Haniger is on the team with his, I mean, he's essentially a 5-tool player. I think that they are depending.
He's
on
supposed
him.
To be the best player on the team.
Yeah,
he's supposed to be, but he can't stay healthy. Like last year he was supposed to be the guy, and I know that his injury that he had, I mean, no one can anticipate that, right? Like that's completely out of left field. But the point is that you're banking on a guy that does have an injury history that is limited in his opportunities to stay out on the field. I just don't think that you can really continue to keep going down this road. And the nice thing is that they are in a position where they can try out as many young guys as they can to try and fill that role, and it's not going to hurt them.
Not this year.
No,
because they're not
yeah.
planning on. I mean, look, I guess the timing of Haniger going through all this is okay because they're not having. They don't really have to win that many games this year. But if you're giving other guys chances, Jake Fraley, whoever it is, if he goes out there and tears it up, I mean, we could be talking about a spot being stolen.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's what I hope. Honestly, that's what I hope happens in this situation.
Next. The XFL Dragons has surpassed 10,000 season ticket sales. Now, how many seats are in the lower bowl alone? 20,000?
I think it's about split in half. So I'd say like capacity would be like 29.
Okay, 30. So it's 30. We'll call it 30.
Yeah, 30,000.
All right, so it's roughly a third of that. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, that environment alone on Saturday, I could see people going to the game for the first time, being a part of that and saying, you know what, for five games, because they play 10 games total, right? So for right. five home games, sure, why not?
Well, I think the price point helps too. A friend of mine who, she watches sports but doesn't know a ton about the XFL, her and a friend just decided to get tickets the other day because they were going to be like affordable. It's a Saturday afternoon and they thought, why not? Let's check it out. So I think it was created in a way that felt very inviting to fans who obviously weren't going to be diehard fans because they didn't know a lot about the league. And so I think that they set that up right.
As season tickets, I believe, start at like $125. $25 a game, five home games.
Seattle was also the highest rated market again in the XFL. And I think the ratings went up from a 6.4 to a 6.9 in week two.
It's just so cool to me.
Like a World Series game rating.
I love it. I love the fact that Seattle is such a, you know, welcome, open-arm community that they embrace their sports teams like this. And we've always talked about Seattle being an event town, and this is kind of what the Dragons provide. They provide an event that's going on at this time of the year where really there's not a whole lot of things that people can truly gravitate towards, and it goes to speak to how much people love football here too. And the hope that I have for the Seattle Dragons is that in this year, we talked about the disparity between the game experience and then the product that you saw offensively. If the Dragons can start producing an offense that's fun to watch, or that they can, you know, consistently go down the field and put points up on the board, now it just adds to the experience. Now people are actually hooked in and can stay there. I think that the fans are there in support and they love this type of thing. Now let's try and make this thing last long and continue to build that type, that fan base and energy.
Next.
Love it.
Oh, we're already next it out.
There you go, Tom.
By the way, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app powered by Dubin Law Group. Ryan Newman was released from the hospital this morning. He's the guy, the driver, who had that horrific crash the other day. And he was pictured leaving the hospital with his young daughters, walking out of there and, you know, just like T-shirt.
Yeah, it was like a picture from the back of, he didn't look like he was being assisted.
He wasn't in like hospital gown or anything.
Yeah. Leaving with a hospital gown on.
You returned
Wait a minute,
sir.
Did he escape the hospital? Like, have you been released?
I'm sorry,
Discharged?
Mr. Newman signed himself out this morning. Would you ever drive again if you were him?
I mean, you have to think someone at that level, it's kind of in your heart at that point. Like, you love it. And it was a bad accident. And thankfully, he made it out, not just alive, but it looks like he escaped very serious injury. And I think that when you've reached that level, it's like a professional, any professional athlete, they are in love with what they do. And it's more than just a pastime. It's part of it's who they are. And I just think people have a really, really hard time leaving the sport, even after serious injury.
42 years old. He's already kind of, at the tail end of his racing career. And he said that he would retire, I think, even a couple years ago, and has found himself having a hard time walking away from it. So if he loves it that much, then I would hate for this to be the thing that ends it. But also, this could be the shot of reality that he may have needed.
If I'm looking at those two daughters and I'm laying in a hospital bed, I'm that old, I'm approaching maybe the end of my career. I'm not saying I'll never drive again, maybe a handful of races, but maybe I'll seriously think about scaling it back.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I mean, you're
not doing the Daytona 500 anymore.
Yeah, you're doing the local,
the local
boxcar race.
Right.
Out there with the little rascals. What am I doing here?
LeBron has decided to weigh in on the Astros cheating scandal. I guess we'll hear what he has to say next. 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Rost.
I just saw a really strange headline concerning Russell Wilson, and it's on our website at mynorthwest.com. The headline reads, Russell Wilson's mental conditioning coach tells him to avoid country music. Avoid country music. Okay, I'm intrigued. So the quote is,
I need to hear more. I need to hear this.
More than the headline.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to read you just one excerpt of the story here. To improve your mindset, Moad encourages people to think about the media they're listening to, watching, and consuming on a daily basis. He and Russell Wilson both avoid country music. Okay, I understand that first part. Think about the media you're listening to and watching. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
He says, country music is great, but it's so negative that we don't want to have that really dictating our internal ad campaign. That doesn't mean you can't listen to it, but if you're going through a divorce or a tough challenge and you're listening to sad music, you're going to be influenced negatively.
Have you listened to Carrie Underwood? Rebuttal, Carrie Underwood.
But rebuttal, she does sing a lot of songs that are sad when you listen
she
to
does.
The lyrics and the meanings of the songs.
What
but
if
then
you
she has great songs that are happy?
What if you don't listen to the lyrics, though?
If you don't listen to the lyrics, you just listen to the medley?
Yeah.
The melody. That's all right. Different meaning, but yeah.
Yes.
Well, what if you don't pay specific attention to the lyrics? Like, you're hearing it, but...
But, Tom, we're not on your musical level. Isn't like...
Well,
I don't...
First of all, speak for yourselves. I think Tom and I are not a very similar musical level.
Curtis and Howdy are not on your musical level.
But I'm telling you...
Like, you could appreciate, like, oh, man, that was like a killer guitar riff. I wasn't really into the message, but, man, I really liked what he was doing there and the way he composed that or some,
So are you saying that
terms
I
don't even know.
I'm the only one in here who's impervious to country music?
You're the only one in here that could truly appreciate and go above and beyond the lyrical intent.
Excuse me.
Huh.
I think I can, too.
I think the one argument Stacey, of that is that
I was in band for 8 years.
Wait a minute.
Out of ignorance is if, have you ever listened to a song and you completely mishear the lyrics, like
yes.
You think it's something else, and then you look up the lyrics and you're like, oh, that's what they were saying? Like, that changes my entire outlook on this whole song. So maybe you're maybe you've got no clue. You just got a bad sense of hearing, and you're
DA can't hold me back.
There we go.
DA can't hold me back.
Perfect example. It changes the entire outlook of the song.
In Stacey's defense, I don't think it's fair for Trevor Moad to take an entire genre that has like thousands of musicians in it and generalize and say, we don't listen to any of them because they're all sad.
Casey Musgraves.
It's true. It's a very out there concept. That's for sure. I just think it's interesting to the length that Russell and Moad go to
it's
in
nuts.
Terms of their thought process of this internal ad campaign.
Okay.
You don't want to have that diminished or affected in one bit. And
Russell, no ice cream,
chances.
No pizza, no country music this month, okay? We're going to get there, bud. We're going to get there.
Well, it's been working, as strange as it's been.
That's not the reason
it's
why
crazy.
He's winning football games,
well,
because he's avoiding country music.
Apparently, it's part of it. Apparently, it's part of the formula, Tom. It's a part of that internal ad campaign, my friend.
That is weird. Text us 710-710 if you want to respond to that.
Oh, I'm seeing some responses.
What are they saying?
Well, Tom, you aren't going to want to hear this one, which is why I'm reading it. Tom, half of Fish's lyrics are meaningless. The music,
whoa,
though, is awesome. Yikes.
That's fine.
Uh-oh. This one is, I never listened to country music, so why am I not a Super Bowl winning quarterback?
it's a very fair
question. I'm wondering the same thing. Someone said they've misheard lyrics before. Jimi Hendrix, one that they reference. Someone questioned why I considered Carrie Underwood country, and I responded in all caps, get out.
Is she still country?
I yes!
But there's a lot of crossover.
She's never not been country.
Trevor Moad.
Get
man.
Out of here.
Are you good buds with him, Trevor Moad?
With Trev? Yeah.
Has he ever told you to avoid country music?
No, this is the first time that I'm hearing this. That's why I was so intrigued by it.
Okay.
It's interesting to sit there. It's like, when you're going on a diet of some sort, like, is one piece of cake really going to hurt you?
Yeah.
No, but it's that temptation of, that one
right.
cake, that slice of cake could turn into two, or
Tom,
it could turn into some cake and ice cream.
This 253 says, Tom, going to take my horse to the hotel room?
Going to drive my horse to the hotel room.
No.
I'm going to ride until I can't sit still.
I feel like that happens to me all the time, though. When I'm listening to songs, I think that they say something else, and so I'm singing them. And now on Apple Music, if you have Apple Music, you can pull up the lyrics as you listen to it, and it just has changed everything for me. All the songs that I thought I knew,
wait,
I was completely
what? This
wrong.
Is about what?
What?
I've never listened to this song.
He
man.
Said that? How did I get that?
Maybe Trevor is concerned about like subliminal messaging, like,
yes, that
Russell,
is.
You will throw an interception against the Panthers on Sunday.
But honestly, that's like essentially that's what he's saying. If you're depressed and sad, don't listen to sad and depressing music. Listen to things that are going to uplift you and get you out of that rut and get you into a positive mindset.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Like, I get it, but going to that extreme of saying don't listen to a specific genre at all is pretty interesting.
Is there a song called There's a Bad Moon on the Rise?
Bad Moon Rising.
This person said they thought it was There's a Bathroom on the Right.
I see a bathroom on the right.
Oh, that's what that is?
Dun, dun,
I know that
dun,
song.
Dun. Yeah, see,
Okay.
I need to read this LeBron quote because
okay.
I teased it. So basically, everybody is now piling on this Astros scandal. LeBron says, listen, I don't play baseball, but I'm in sports. And I know if someone cheated me out of winning the title and I found out about it, I would be blanking irate. I mean, like, uncontrollable about what I could do. Listen here, baseball commissioner. Listen to your players speaking today about how disgusted, mad, hurt, broken, et cetera, about this. Literally, the ball is in your court, or should I say field, and you need to fix this for the sake of sports.
Don't, you're missing the hashtag.
I know. I'm taking a breath before I read the hashtag. Hashtag, just my thoughts coming from a sports junkie regardless my own sport I play.
Is that a violation of hashtags?
No, it's absolutely not.
That is so long. That is such a long hashtag.
The best thing to do is if you guys search that hashtag, people started using that hashtag for all kinds of things. So one guy says, Tangled is better than Frozen. Hashtag just my thought coming from a sports junkie, regardless of my own sport I play.
what do you think about this in terms of LeBron now weighing in on this?
There's going to come a point where it's going to get really tired to just point the finger at Rob Manfred. It's like, all right, get off the guy's case already, don't you think?
Right, I do, for sure.
It's like Mike was saying the other day with the Dodgers. Anybody can play tough guy now.
There's no doubt. I think we live in a world now with social media where everybody gets to weigh in and everybody has a platform to get their thoughts out. I mean, you know, here's the thing. We get paid to do this job and talk and have opinions and to say our piece on these matters. Why is it okay for me to do it because it's my job versus LeBron? I don't really have a problem.
I don't think I don't think that LeBron doing it right now, Jake, is a problem.
Yeah.
Nor do I think it's a problem that we do it. But we don't talk about something well after we've exhausted that topic. We move on to something else.
Correct. And I fully agree with you. And I am right there with you.
Like we're not still beating the drum on, you know, something that happened a year ago.
Yes, and I agree with you. It's interesting that you're getting a player like this in LeBron James. I'm not saying this should have any impact because, oh my gosh, LeBron James is speaking out on this. But it's just interesting that other players from different sports, you know, kind of get the gravity of what is going on in terms of the cheating scandal that is happening in play and putting into perspective of what players would be like if it had happened within their own realm of their own sports.
We're doing it every day at 2:00, a Seahawks free agent profile. I'm psyched up about these two guys. I've been wondering about them big time. Jermaine Ifedi and George Fant. What do we do with them? We'll discuss it next, 710 ESPN Seattle.